This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
If the term usury has shifted in meaning since biblical times to now mean lending money at an exorbitant rate of interest, payday lending businesses like MoneyMart must surely fit the definition. Charging annualized interest rates of between 600 and 900%, they're not doing much of a favor for lenders. Protecting Canadians' interest, reining in the payday lending industry, is a recent report produced by Acorn Canada. Acorn Canada is the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. John Young is the Executive Director of their new Vancouver office, and he's joined me on the phone this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So now, not all of us have been into a MoneyMart or other payday lender. Can you describe their business?
Yeah, I mean, MoneyMart and the approximately 1,500 other payday lending operations across the country, they tend to offer a range of different products, but by far the most popular, the most heavily used, and the one which generates the most business for all of these payday lending operations is what they call a payday loan. So you're like those other hundreds of thousands of Canadians across the country who are maybe working 2 or 3 jobs, struggling to get by, and you don't have enough to make it to your next paycheck. So you'll go into a payday lender, you'll ask for a loan. MoneyMart will lend you up to 40% of your net paycheck on your next pay. A lot of other payday lenders don't have those kinds of restrictions and will lend you even more. You'll sign on the dotted line, you'll walk out the door with your cash. And the way they structure these loans is so that they're kind of disingenuous in terms of the contract, the way it's written, suggesting that they adhere to the law with regard to interest rates, which the criminal code says you can't charge interest of more than 60% annually. And most of us think, well, 60%, that's pretty high interest. You should be able to make a considerable amount of money on a loan at that rate. And then they have a number of different fees and charges which kick in the day after your loan is due. Since most people can't afford to pay off the loan before they get their paycheck, all of those charges and fees kick in. When they kick in, they end up dramatically ballooning the interest rate, often over 1,000%. And the way the criminal code reads and defines interest, all of these fees and charges have to be calculated and considered as interest. So we had a case here in Vancouver, which was precedent-setting in terms of using this section of the criminal code to try and press a criminal charge for a criminal interest rate. It was for a particular loan, and the interest rate that the actuary that we retained to do the work on this particular case, the number that he came up with in terms of his assessment of what the interest rate was 1,242%, 20 times, more than 20 times what the criminal rate is. So that's kind of the industry standard across the country, and every payday lender, wherever they are, whether it's in Vancouver or Toronto or Halifax, everywhere across the country is breaking the law every single day in terms of that provision of the criminal code.
So they really get away with it by people not being able to pay back their loans on time according to the contract, and so then the extra charges kick in?
Yeah, I mean that's sort of the standard operating form for them. But there are differences between one payday lender to the next. But they all will say that we have an interest rate of 59 or 60%, and then they'll load in all these different fees and charges, all of which the criminal code tells us are interest.
So what's the consequence of the getting into one of these loan scenarios on the sort of people that do use them?
Well, I think that if you use one payday loan once in your life, you've only been ripped off once and you're fine. I think the terrible consequences that we're most concerned about are for those many Canadians who end up really borrowing from Peter to pay Paul and end up borrowing one payday loan after another payday loan after another payday loan, never really paying down the principal and often ending up paying 2, 3, 4 times the amount that they borrowed over a period of several months and getting trapped in what we call a debt trap and because of predatory lending practices. And this is all possible and happening every day because in most of the country, including in British Columbia, the industry is completely unregulated. It's unusual for a multi-billion dollar industry, particularly financial services, to be completely unregulated, and yet it is.
Now, are these the sort of people that places like MoneyMart are actually consciously targeting?
I think that there's a range. There are a range of players in the industry. Some are better, some are worse. There is a new industry association that was formed last year. It has sort of the best practices crowd are members of it, but they only have about probably 40 or 50% of the industry who are members of their association. And even those companies, including MoneyMart, are still charging criminal rates and have a number of egregious lending practices, none of which are subject to public oversight or regulation. So I think that at the very worst end of the industry, there's absolutely nothing that separates these businesses from good old loan sharking from yesteryear. And at the very best end, yeah, it's not, in terms of the collection practices and the intimidation and the deliberate targeting of people who can't in any way possibly afford to pay back a loan, it's somewhat better, but not a lot. And so what we've been calling for is for immediate and urgent crackdown, really by provincial governments, is that since they have responsibility for consumer protection and to implement comprehensive regulation, which we're advocating, and which, you know, governments have been studying literally for 5 years as the industry has grown and mushroomed.
So what are the external factors that have led to this mushrooming in the industry?
Well, I mean, I think there are a number of things. One of them, I'm sure wouldn't surprise listeners, is that, you know, the banks have closed thousands of branches over the last several years, and particularly in low-income communities. So where we did an exercise with UBC Geography Department in the report that you referenced earlier, where we mapped where bank closures had taken place and then where payday lenders had popped up. And we've also looked at the public statements and the you know, financial filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission and others of Money Mart and other companies. And they're very clear that they see their opportunity in those neighborhoods, low-income neighborhoods, where banks have disappeared and where people need access to small loans. So mainstream financial institutions, banks, and credit unions have really abandoned this market. And in a way, it's a bit of a head-scratcher, because usually when there's $1 billion on the table, that's enough to get somebody's attention. And for whatever reason, banks and credit unions have really left this market completely on its own. And into that vacuum has kind of arrived and exploded this completely unregulated business, which at its worst, you know, which happens every single day, is loan sharking.
So now, even when there is a bank in the area, do they meet the same needs as, and perhaps in a more ethical way, but do they meet the same needs as payday lending?
No, they don't. I mean, I think part of it is that they don't, the banks and credit unions aren't creating small loan products and making low-income communities and members and residents of those communities aware that they may be able to get either a line of credit or a small unsecured loan. And so there is this vacuum that the payday lenders are meeting. So we're in discussions with one major financial institution, and we hope to have conversations with others to try to, A, understand why they're not in this market, and B, to try to lead them, beat them, motivate them, embarrass them, humiliate them, whatever series of tactics and strategies to get them into a market so that those hundreds of thousands of Canadians who need access to small loans can get them at a fair price in a fair and regulated market.
Now, you mentioned your project with the Geography Department. Mm-hmm. Are there other geographic correlations with payday lenders other than the bank closures?
Yeah, I mean, we were interested to know, you know, a number of things in terms of the nature of those communities where payday lenders have really proliferated. You know, we found, again, not surprisingly, so we intuitively thought that it might be the case, and to the degree that data is available, it bore out our suspicion that it is in low-income neighborhoods with a high incidence of single-parent families, a high incidence of new Canadians, a high incidence of people who don't speak English as their first language. So people who aren't necessarily aware that a bank might lend them money, or aren't necessarily aware that when they borrow money from a payday lender, they're borrowing it at an obscene criminal rate, and people who are often in desperate circumstances and not necessarily making the best decisions will walk in, and because they need the money right now today, will enter into a loan agreement that is predatory in nature and criminal.
So what regulation are you suggesting to protect people from this sort of predatory lending?
Well, there was this, you know, there was this spin line, I guess, that came out of the federal-provincial negotiations last summer around health care, and we heard it over and over again, and it was, you can't manage what you can't measure. And I think that that line, taking that rhetoric and applying it to the payday lending industry, means that nobody knows right now how many payday lenders there are. They don't know themselves. The Payday Lending Industry Association doesn't know. Governments don't know. We don't know. The only way to know how many payday lenders there are across the country is to walk every block in every city from one end of the country to the other. That's ridiculous in our view. So we think that at the very minimum, there needs to be a licensing and registration system so that every province has an office, a registrar, and a licensing regime where those licenses can be withdrawn or suspended for violating the rules that need to govern the industry. And then we've spelled out a number of different rules, including a cap on the rates and fees, including a ban on rollover loans, so you can't borrow one after another, that there needs to be a cooling off period between loans to give you a chance to pay off and think more soberly perhaps about your next financial decision. Then there's kind of a series of different steps and prohibitions and sanctions against, you know, predatory collection practices, intimidating people in their homes, illegally trying to seize property because people aren't aware of what their rights are. So just trying to bring some order to what's now a complete Wild West bonanza of an industry. And still, you know, our goal isn't to try and eliminate the industry. We frankly don't care whether it's Money Mart or the Royal Bank or VanCity who provides access to small loans. We want to be sure that whatever we're advocating doesn't lead to a situation where we end up with a punitive regulatory system that eliminates the industry and drives people even further and deeper into a black market and, you know, going to your local Hells Angels chapter for a loan. So we're trying to be careful and responsible about how we advocate a regulatory system. But clearly there's so much money being made in this business that cutting the rates, enforcing the law, and having you know, a licensing and registration system where we know who's out there operating in this business, surely that can be done in a way that where fair returns are still being made, but not obscene returns at criminal rates.
Now, presumably people that go in for these payday loans don't really have much of a clue about what they're actually getting into, or is it just a matter of choice? Is there an education and an advertising component to all of this?
Well, I mean, from our view, there certainly should be, and government should be providing that education to people in terms of basic financial literacy, but also sort of in warning them that this should really be your last stop and your last option if you don't have any others. I mean, there is no sign over Money Mart saying criminal interest rates here, you know, and most people don't know that. And so I think there's an important piece of education that we'd be happy to work with government and the industry on to make sure that when people are entering into these agreements, that A, they do it very infrequently, that they're fully aware of what the costs are, they're fully aware that this is just about the worst possible loan that you can come across, and that even a credit card or a loan from family or a line of credit or an unsecured loan from another financial institution, once you've exhausted all of those possibilities, then and only then should you consider a payday loan.
Now, you mentioned working with government. Why hasn't there been any government action on this obvious issue?
Well, it's been almost a surreal experience in terms of our discussions with government, from the Premier's office in Ontario to all the way to the Prime Minister's office, and in, you know, including the Ministry of the Attorney General in Victoria and elsewhere. We've been in discussions with government, and kind of behind closed doors, all of our conversations have been remarkable, you know, across the political spectrum, in that all of the officials that we've been talking to recognize that this is a terrible, terrible problem, agree largely with our analysis, agree largely with our solution in terms of a regulatory framework, and then kind of stare blankly or look down at their shoes when we ask them, so why aren't you doing anything? And, you know, you hear such things as, well, you know, the Premier is concentrating on core mandate issues, healthcare, education, whatever. I mean, our suspicion is, and maybe it's a bit cynical, but it's hard not to be cynical about some of this stuff, is that it's primarily low-income people that are affected. The numbers tell us that it's low-income people don't vote as much as people in other income strata, and that often it's new Canadians, it's single-parent families. These are people who don't tend to be as united and powerful in their political voice as other groups. So we're trying to bring a voice to those concerns, not just on payday lending, but on other economic and social justice issues. Really, it's been remarkable in our conversations with government, all of whom say, at some point, we may do what you want us to do. Even though we've been studying this for years, we understand it, we agree with you. They don't really have an explanation for why they're not doing anything. And when we ask them, well, do you think it might be because these are primarily low-income people that are impacted, again, they kind of look at their shoes. So there's an awareness on government's part, really from one end of the country to the other, that this is a problem. The Manitoba government, I think not coincidentally an NDP government, has said that they are going to bring forward legislation this spring, and they're going to pass it, and they're going to finally regulate this industry in Manitoba. We're in Ottawa and Toronto next week, again, talking with government officials at both the federal and provincial level to try and keep the pressure up, and whether it's, you know, combination of legal action and you know, pushing for regulation with the kind of report that you referenced, and trying to get it out there through the media. You know, we're using every channel we have, including peaceful protest and occupations. We awarded Money Mart the Loan Shark of the Year award in Toronto a couple months ago, with our members rallying outside of Loan Shark outside of Money Mart. So, you know, it's a range of different things that we're trying to do to bring attention to the issue, which, when most people hear about it and learn about it and understand that it's a $1 billion industry that's completely unregulated and breaks the law every day, yeah, you know, most people think, well, that's unacceptable and obscene, and government needs to do its job in protecting Canadians from predatory lending practices.
Thanks very much for talking with me this morning about this. It's been very informative.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I've been talking with John Young. John Young is the Executive Director of the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, or ACORN Canada. And you can get more information on this issue and the report Protecting Canadians' Interest, Reining in the Payday Lending Industry, at canada.acorn.org.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.